Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O merciful Lord, you desire worshipers who will honor you in spirit and in truth. We pray then that you would send your Holy Spirit to cleanse us from dead works, to serve you in righteousness and holiness, to honor your great and saving name for giving us Jesus, who is the expression of your special eternal love unto salvation to everyone who believes. Help us to believe and live out our faith. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Rise, Shine, You People. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety, govern her by your goodness, and bless her with your peace. We pray this in your name, dear Jesus, for you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We read from chapter 50, verses 4 through 10. Contained in these verses are prophecies about the coming Messiah, about Jesus, and how he would perfectly trust God, his Father, and also perfectly do his Father's will. The Lord gave me a tongue like the learned, an instructed tongue, so I know how to sustain the weary with a word. He wakes me up morning by morning. He wakes up my ears so that I listen like the learned. The Lord opened my ear, and I myself was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I submitted my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from disgrace and from spit. The Lord God will help me, so I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have made my face hard like flint. I know that I will not be put to shame. The one who will acquit me is near. Who can accuse me? Let us take our stand. Who can pass judgment on me? Let him approach me. Look, the Lord God will help me. Who then can declare me guilty? Look, all of them will wear out like a garment. A moth will consume them. Who among you worships the Lord and listens to the voice of his servant? Anyone who walks in darkness and has no bright light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him lean on his God. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These verses come immediately before our sermon text. Jesus asks his disciples who people say that he is. And Peter's answer is very good. He says, you are the Christ. However, there was, as we mentioned in last week's sermon, a lot of misconceptions and false beliefs among the people about who that Christ was going to be like, that he was going to be some sort of earthly Messiah or a political or military leader or ruler. Jesus is about to show and tell them what it means that he is the Christ in the verses that follow in our sermon text. Jesus went away with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? They told him, John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? He asked them. Peter answered him, you are the Christ. Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. Here ends our scripture reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave up his life so that we would have life eternal with him in heaven, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We again read from chapter 8. This time we read verses 31 through 35. The verses that followed our gospel reading for today. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the experts in the law, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was speaking plainly to them. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But after turning around and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men. He called the crowd and his disciples together and said to them, If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you like to lose? Show of hands, who here likes to lose? Didn't think I'd see any hands this morning. No one really likes to lose. But of course, there are people who really, really don't like to lose. They despise it with all their being. They do whatever they can, anything they can, to not lose, but instead to win. If that describes you, then this text for today is not for you. Or perhaps, actually, it is for you. It's the perfect text for you. Of course it is. These are, in fact, the words of our Savior, so they are the perfect words for us to hear. And Jesus' words in this text remind us that in the most important way, losing is victory, and loss is gain. As we take a closer look at our text, we'll notice that there are, in fact, several things Jesus calls on us to lose. And in doing so, Jesus promises us great gain. I'm looking in particular at the last two verses of our text, verses 34 and 35. Those will be the main focus of our message for today. First of all, we hear Jesus calling on us to lose our self. That sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? No one wants to lose their self. But what Jesus is talking about here is our sinful self, our sinful nature. When he says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Self-denial is not easy. We know how hard self-denial can be on a physical or mental or emotional level. Saying no to that piece of cake, or denying yourself, having delayed gratification for the sake of something better in the future, that can seem like a near impossibility for us at times as human beings. But self-denial on a spiritual level, in a spiritual sense, is actually impossible without Jesus. However, what do we have to gain when we lose our sinful self? What do we gain? We gain instead Jesus. Denial of our own will and our desires and conforming them instead to God's will, to Jesus' will, means saying no to our sinful self. That sinful self which is so good at convincing us to do things, but is actually not right. It steers us in the wrong direction. It does not know better. It only leads us on destructive paths and destructive directions. Saying no to that sinful self and instead trustingly saying, Thy will be done. Trusting Jesus, the one who does know better, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Denying ourselves also includes subjecting our thoughts and our beliefs to what Jesus has told us and to what he's told us about himself in the Bible. This is a lesson that Jesus had to teach Peter very famously in our text. When Jesus very plainly tells his disciples what it meant that he was the Christ, as Peter correctly said, You are the Christ, Lord. He explains to them what's going to happen to him as the Christ. He was going to suffer. He was going to be killed and rise again the third day. What was Peter's response to Jesus? This is not one we should follow, is it? If Jesus tells us something, we should not say, No, Jesus, or rebuke him. Peter, however, rebukes Jesus instead of rebuking his own sinful flesh, his own self. Jesus, in turn, has to rebuke Peter, and he says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have your mind set on the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus was very firmly reminding Peter and his disciples and all believers for all time that his purpose in coming to this earth was not to establish an earthly kingdom, not to guarantee all of his believers material prosperity or power, not even to guarantee us earthly health or happiness. Instead, he came to be our perfect substitute, to suffer and die as our atoning sacrifice for our sins. And yes, on the third day, to rise victoriously to prove that he was who he said he was, and to guarantee our own resurrection and our own place in glory and happiness with him forever, not on an earthly kingdom, but in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' words also remind us of something else we will gain when we deny ourselves. It is a cross. When we lose ourself and follow him, we also pick up, we gain a cross. Jesus says in verse 34, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That does not sound pleasant. Who would want to gain or pick up a cross? The most excruciating torture and killing device ever devised. Well, it is true, Jesus calls each one of us to pick up and take our own personal crosses. And what he means by that is these crosses are the things that we're called upon to bear because we are believers in Jesus, however small or however large these crosses might be. But let's first of all remember that when he calls us to do this, he doesn't call us to drag our burdens and our crosses around on our own. No, he lovingly and repeatedly invites us in the Word of God to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. So in his own wisdom, in his infinite wisdom and his infinite love, Christ has given to each one of us crosses to bear, particular to you and particular to me, our own particular crosses to bear to strengthen our faith, to draw us closer to him. He's also given us those crosses as a way of showing our love and our devotion to the one who bore the ultimate cross for all of us. So when we think about those crosses that we have to bear, we should also think of that cross, the cross that Jesus bore for us, the cross he bore physically and spiritually for us. He willingly took upon himself the crushing weight of that responsibility of the salvation of every man, woman, and child who's ever lived on this earth. He willingly bore that cursed cross with its nails, its thorns, the verbal abuse, and the spiritual agony of hell itself. He bore that cross for you and for me. Jesus' loss was our gain. He was willing to lose his life so that we would gain eternal life. In that light, when we look at his cross, our crosses don't seem all that heavy, do they? They are a burden of love for our Savior, that he might be glorified in our lives, and with the Spirit's help, then we daily take up that cross out of love for Jesus and follow him. So what does that mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means, of course, listening to his words. It means, of course, willingly doing what he says, but it also includes, and don't forget this, believing everything he said about himself and everything he said about our salvation that he tells us in his word. In his word, he tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If we are wise sheep, we will follow the voice of our good shepherd. That means walking where he leads us, following his example, and being willing even to suffer for the sake of his name. When I hear these words of Jesus, when I read this section of Scripture, there is a part of me, probably that sinful part of me, the sinful self of me, that has the question pop up in my head, maybe it does in your head too. Is it worth it? After you read Jesus' description about what it means to follow him, doesn't that question pop up somewhere in your mind and in your heart? Is it worth it? He hasn't exactly painted a bright and cheery picture of what it means to follow him. This sounds hard. This sounds like a lot of work. Sounds like he's calling on us to lose a lot and a lot of things that we by nature really like. We like control. We by nature like our sins. So is it worth it? Well, let's listen to Jesus' words and consider Jesus' words from verse 35 of our text, where he says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." This is one of Jesus' greatest paradoxes. What does he mean by what he says in that verse? Well, he means this. Whoever would rather save his life physically here on this earth and put the things of this life first, he's going to lose not only his life spiritually, but eventually eternally in hell when this life is over. But whoever gives up his earthly life, willingly and trustingly giving up his very body and soul to Jesus, will be saved spiritually and eternally. Again, that type of willing sacrifice does not come naturally. Again, we can't do it on our own. Thankfully, that is why Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit to move our dead hearts to life, to move us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So is it worth it? You bet. Jesus goes on to say in the verses that follow our sermon text the reason why it is worth it. He says, "After all, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Our most valuable possession, so to speak, is our soul. And don't forget, our soul is also Christ's most valuable possession as well. It's why he was willing to lose everything to gain it for eternity. Jesus calls on us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him for our own good. So yes, it's worth it. Giving up our soul in exchange for the pleasures and good times of this short life, do we often realize just how completely foolish and how not worth it that really is? I'm certain I have used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it with you again because I like it and I think it's at least somewhat effective. Doing that, giving up the pleasures of heaven and the rest of eternal life in heaven for the pleasures and quote-unquote joys of this life is like if I said to you, come on up and get this $1 from me today, right now, come on up and just, I'll give you this $1. But if you would wait till next Sunday, you'll get a check for $1,000,000. Who would be foolish enough to come up and take this $1 because they could not deny themselves or delay that gratification for 1 week? That would be foolish. That would not be worth it. Taking $1 over $1,000,000 is not worth it. Losing your soul for the pleasures of this short life, which is so often filled with anything but pleasure, that is not worth it. Losing your life for Jesus, who has eternally saved your soul, that is worth it. Praise God that in Jesus, loss is gain. In him, losing is victory. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake.
Thank you.
Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O gracious God, our Heavenly Father, who loved this fallen world and sent your Son to save it, free us from all guilt and spare us from all punishment for Jesus' sake. We who trust your love and mercy to save us from our sins, trust you also to deliver us from all temptation and to help us through every time of trouble and peril. Dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you that you willingly came here as our Savior to take away our sins, to bear your cross for us, and make us right in God's sight. Help us daily to take up our crosses, to crucify our sinful flesh, to put away our sinful self with its afflictions and lusts, that we might live instead for you. Grant steadfastness to our faith, lest we lose the redemption you purchased for us by your own blood. Make us alive to that which is good and dead to everything that is evil. Sprinkle us with your cleansing blood and blot out all our sins. May we never become boastful of our own accomplishments, but let us remember all that you've done to save us from the doom we so richly deserve. O precious Holy Spirit of God, continually turn us from the desires of our sinful self so that we do not obey its lusts, and by keeping us spiritually alive, help us to fill up the measure of godliness. Make us truly devoted to your word, and through it renew and strengthen our faith. Fill each of us with joyful anticipation of our Savior's return, and keep us ready in faith to greet him. Give each of us the joy of knowing Jesus by faith as our personal Savior, and the certain hope of eternal life and glory in his name. Hear us for Jesus' sake as we pray in his name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond then with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message that you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. This afternoon I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible class will follow at 2. This week, our elders and church council will meet via Zoom at 7 p.m. That's on Tuesday. The church council is also asked to meet briefly. We can meet in my office briefly after church to discuss the quotes we got for the roof repair. Should be a brief meeting, but church council, please meet me in the office after the service today. Next Sunday, a reminder that next Sunday we'll be having our Southern California worship service, our my farewell worship service with them. So the schedule here will just be 10 a.m. worship service, 1 p.m. in Hayward, and then 6:30 p.m. In the Ontario area in Southern California. A reminder that the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference is rapidly approaching. October 1st through the 3rd, we'll be hosting the pastors here for their pastoral conference. We will also be having a meal before the Wednesday communion worship service. You're all invited to attend both the meal and the worship service. There is a sign-up sheet if you'd like to help bring some food to pass for the meal. Please join us for that if you're able. Also, we are taking the pastors on a tour of Alcatraz while they're here and treating them to a meal out. So if you'd like to give a donation to help with the pastor's excursion that Tuesday, please mark your offering envelope, Pastoral Conference. We also have housing prepared already for the pastors, so that's been taken care of. Please continue to pray for Pastor Drew Nauman, who is the pastor we called to serve us. He also, I forgot to mention this in the announcements last week, he has invited anyone who would like to contact him or speak with him to do so. His email address and his cell phone are in the bulletin on page 12. Also, please continue to pray for one of our missionaries, Peter Evenson. He has been living stateside for the last couple of months while he recovers from some health issues. He's actually staying with Pastor Drew Nauman during this time, and it sounds like he's improving a bit. So please, there's an announcement and a update on his health condition. Please pray for our missionary as you go about your week. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.